This is an interview with Mr. James Davis for the Youngstown State University Project on the Black Student Experience. The interview is being conducted using WebEx, and today's date is October 23rd, 2023. And my name is Talicia Williams. Hello, Mr. Davis. How are you?
I'm okay. Basically, medically, I'm not okay. But, you know, otherwise, everything's okay.
Hope you feel better soon.
I do too.
Where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I'm from Youngstown, Ohio. I lived on the south side on, in fact, my address was 437 West Myrtle Avenue.
Wow, you have a good memory. How was
it? My house is still there. Not too much of the neighborhood is there anymore, but my house is still there.
What was it like growing up on the south side of Youngstown?
It was an environment. It was inclusive. You know, everybody lived in homes. The neighborhood was such that everybody knew everybody. We all went to school, walked to school together, played together, enjoyed each other's homes, enjoyed dinner, supper, whatever together. But it was a good neighborhood.
Are you a first generation college student?
I am, yes.
What or who encouraged you to go to college?
Teachers, my parents, and the fact that neither my mother nor my father finished elementary school, and then I had my own reasons for going. I did well in school, so I really wanted to continue. And my other reason for going to college is I wanted to be a doctor.
Why did you choose YSU as your university of study?
Because of monetary constraints, and YSU, you know, was right there. It was on the north side, so my parents said they couldn't send me anywhere else because they couldn't afford it, so went to Youngstown.
And what was your first year like at Youngstown? Do you remember anything about when you first came here for school?
Well, you know, getting scheduled and finding where you were supposed to go for classes, because at that time the school was basically in one block on the Rand Avenue at the other, going all the and going up Wick Avenue, Fifth Avenue, other side up to, can't be thinking of the name of the street now. So it was basically one big block. So as far as the education part, it wasn't a big adjustment. I guess the biggest adjustment was that I was a black student. There are about 16,000 white students. It was more of a community school because a lot of the students drove there. But you know, as far as being a part of a ethnic group, there weren't many of us, maybe about 100 of us that were there. I guess that was my biggest adjustment.
How did you adjust to being one of maybe 100 black students at going to this university?
Well, my adjustment came because, you know, I wasn't there on campus. I had class, I worked full time, and I was going to school full time. And until I got used to what YSU had to offer in terms of what was there. The biggest meeting place was the cafeteria. And I decided, I became parts of different groups that were there, and became a part of the tennis team while I was there. But that part of the adjustment wasn't a big deal.
Earlier, you mentioned that you wanted to be a doctor. Why did you want to pursue a career as a doctor, and did it change as your college career went on?
It definitely changed about my midway through my end of my sophomore year, going into my junior year. It changed. Why I wanted to be a doctor. Well, that's kind of hard for me to answer, but I don't know. I just wanted to be a doctor, and I wanted to be a particular type of doctor that dealt with women. So that was that.
Why did your mindset on your careers change?
Because of, one, getting bored. Two, I didn't have the grade point average to, let's say, get into the subject area that I needed. And so I had to make a decision on, based upon what my grade point average was, you know, what would be my next step as far as my career would be.
And what was the decision that you ultimately ended up making?
I went into the School of Education.
And how was that transition? Did you prefer education more than you preferred a medical school?
No, but like I said, because of my grades, I had to go back an extra semester of school to get what I needed to get into the School of Education. So that's what I worked toward, and I accomplished my goal.
Did you have any personal relationships with any faculty members, anyone who may have helped you or mentored you while you were going to school here?
Basically, no. You know, I just availed myself to counselors or even to faculty members, but no particular person.
Did you take any courses in Black studies?
They didn't have any.
They didn't have any at the time you were going to school here?
Right.
Did that affect your mindset about how you thought about YSU, or was it just
No. They
didn't offer it?
I mean, it was just the area that they didn't offer it, but it didn't affect my mindset at that time, mm-hmm. because the mindset of the nation wasn't in such a, especially in Youngstown, in such a term that there was a big black-white concern in terms of going to school, getting jobs, things like that. So as far as whether Black Studies was there for me or not, because if it was there, I probably would have taken those courses just for my experience and my knowledge, but it wasn't there, so I took what was available for me in terms of what my career changed to be.
Were you a part of any fraternities or any other groups while you were here?
Well, they had one black fraternity, which was the Kappas. They had one black sorority, which were the AKAs. And I was not interested in either of the two. We started a interest group for a black fraternity called Alphas, and which were called Pyramids. And I stayed with that group until I moved to Newark.
Excuse me, until you moved to where?
Until I moved to Newark, New Jersey.
Did you move
after I graduated?
Okay, moved after you graduated. What career did you pursue after upon graduating?
Well, when I graduated, I had a Bachelor of Science in Elementary Education. So when I went to Newark, I had, in one of my classes, one of my senior classes, I got hired to teach school in Newark. So when I went to Newark, that's why I went to teach school.
Was there much of a culture shock moving to a bigger city such as New Jersey from Youngstown?
Oh, there was a, I mean, there was a culture shock just, well, from many aspects. In Youngstown, I lived in a house. When I got to Newark, most of the people, depending upon what section of Newark you're in, they stayed in apartment buildings. I wasn't used to that. The population was much larger. The city was, I guess you could say, segregated in terms of ethnic groups, in terms of religious groups, and the social mores were different. But got used to it.
Was your first choice to teach in Jersey? Would you have liked to teach in Ohio? There weren't any other jobs that were closer.
I did my student teaching in Youngstown. The elementary school that I did my student teaching is now not no longer in existence, but that was Monroe Elementary School. I had made up my mind to just follow through on the job offer that I had asked to staying home or had to staying in Youngstown.
You felt like leaving and going to New Jersey was the best option for you at that time?
It may not have been the best option, but it was the better option at the time.
Would you say that New Jersey was, despite the segregation, would you say it was more diverse than maybe Youngstown, or was Youngstown more diverse as far as the culture?
Well, see, I'm going to answer that question this way. However, Youngstown, Ohio, was in diversity, it's sort of like where we lived, we accepted it. We knew in the area of the South Side was very diverse. But if you moved out toward going up toward Warren, Indianola, Mark, up that way, then it became more, that's where a great deal of the white people stayed, and you had different sections of Youngstown. Rand was diverse, I mean, the north side was diverse, but you still had areas where black stayed, you still had areas where white stayed. The north side, I mean, that's the same thing. And then you had the west side, which was basically white. But it wasn't a standpoint of being dissatisfied with where you stayed, because where you stayed, you were able to deal with life on a day-by-day basis. You know, you weren't fighting, or you weren't calling people different names and all that. That wasn't in existence. And even when I went to South High School, you know, you met the people that you didn't go to elementary school with there at the high school. And still, there was a type of segregation that was there. It wasn't spoken of, but it was there. And as I got into my senior year, it started, I would say that segregation started, what's a good term for started sticking out his hands and things, and you became more aware, well, why is this happening this way? Or why are certain decisions made? And I would say it that way. But, you know, Youngstown was all right with me.
You said you
at
grew
that
up
time. On... Go ahead.
Okay. You said you grew up on the south side of Youngstown. What high school did you go to?
South High School.
And was that high school mostly white people, or was it also diverse, like your neighborhood was diverse?
It's like, well, the high school brought all the areas of the South Side together, so it was diverse. You know, you had black, white, Hispanic, there weren't too many Orientals at that time. And there are a few other, you know, nationalities that were there, but it was basically black and white.
Do you feel like your high school experiences prepared you for college in any way?
Repeat that again, please.
Do you feel like your experiences in high school, whether it be education or maybe the social interactions that you may have had, or being in a more diverse environment, prepared you for college in any way?
Yeah, I felt it did. And then I think also I was able to adjust, you know, and I think I adjusted well.
There are a lot of pictures of you in the yearbook, and I noticed that on the tennis team, you have a nickname, Ed.
Well, my full name is James Edward Davis Jr.
Okay.
That's my full name. And Eddie, that's what they call me most of the time. If you knew me, you call me Edward. If you knew me, you call me Eddie. Some people call me James also.
Why Eddie? Why did they use your middle name?
I don't know. It just happened that way, because most of the people that knew me or I grew up with, you know, that's who they knew me by, Eddie. They didn't know me by James Eddie or James Edward. They just knew me by Eddie. And in high school, same. Junior high school, same thing. Even elementary school, Eddie was that was my name. Oh, you found pictures of me in the school book?
Yes, sir. There are pictures of you. There's your senior picture,
yeah,
and the pictures of you on the tennis team. And I noticed that the names are different. I think your senior picture is James Davis, your regular name, and it doesn't include your middle name. And then your tennis picture, it's Ed. And so I was confused. I thought you had like a brother or something. And so I was doing a whole bunch of
research. No, that's me.
And they're both you. Okay. What was your experience like playing on the tennis team? How long did you play tennis while going to school here?
Okay, I think I'm telling you right. I played. Did I play all? Played all 4 years that I was there. I was there longer than 4 years. I was there 5 years because I didn't graduate until the summer of 1967. That was the last year. After the summer term of 1967, Youngstown University, that September became Youngstown State University. But let me say 4 years. I may be wrong, but I think so. And the tennis team was made up of most of members that went to high school with me from South High School. There was, a couple that went to Rand that we played with. But, you know, I knew them well, the members of the tennis team.
Did you play tennis before going to college?
Played at high school. Played for South High School.
What was your experience like playing tennis at that time? Were you the only African American on the team? I believe it was you and one.
I think there was another young man that played. It was okay. I mean, we, you know, I just accepted. I was accepted as another tennis player because the couple of the, like I say, tennis players were from South High School. I sort of asked. They just told me, no, you could just come on out and try. I came on out, tried, and made it.
Why was tennis your sport of choice?
Well, my mother said I wasn't playing football. I'm serious. I wasn't that good for basketball. And so I knew I could play tennis, so that's the way I went. And then with a little bit of traveling we did, you know, we went to other college campuses to play their tennis team, and that was relaxing. I'm saying relaxing, but that was, you know, I got to see other campuses, got to see other people on the tennis team play with, meet other friends. So in the whole view of it, depending on where we went to play, you know, you got to see different things, different campuses, so forth.
Where did you guys practice? Was there a tennis court here on campus? I know there's one now, but was there one at the time?
No, we went to Mill Creek Park tennis amenities that they had there. We practiced there.
And was that an inconvenience at all for school, that commute?
Now, when you're talking about the tennis team?
Yeah, you playing sports and also being a full-time student and working a full-time job. How did you balance all of them?
Well, I you know, I did my schedule around my hours of working and if it happened that a match was when I had a class, I let the professor know in a way that I can make up the work or whatever had to be done. But it was done that way. I eventually got a car, so, you know, getting back and forth was not a problem. But most of the time I would do, when I did my studies, that did not interfere with me working because I would either work in the evening or I could work late at night. So it worked out.
Did you feel connected to a larger community playing tennis? You said you guys traveled a lot to different universities and stuff like that. Did you build a larger network outside of school?
Well, not so much because, you know, we just go to get there in time to play. When we're finished playing the match, then, you know, we get in the car, or if we had a truck from the school, you know, come on back home.
Do you feel as though for your career as a teacher once you graduated?
I'm sorry, what was the first part of that question?
Do you feel like why prepared you? Do you feel like the education that you obtained here prepared you for your career after school?
For where I went to teach, no, it didn't.
Why do you feel that way?
Because of the type of students that I had, and I wasn't prepared for, I mean, I had theory, I had practice, I had, you know, necessary courses that dealt with elementary school, but it did not deal with the type of student whereby I'm teaching, let's say, sixth grade, and the students that I receive couldn't read, couldn't write, didn't know the alphabet. So it was almost like that picture with Sidney Poitier when he got class in England, and when he got his students there, he just threw all the books right in the garbage because they weren't going to help with the students that he had. And that's where I felt.
How did you cope with that feeling?
Well, I didn't get discouraged because, you know, that was that was my paycheck, if I look at it that way. And as I began to talk with teachers who were there, and they began to help me understand certain things to do, it got to a point where I enjoyed what I was doing. And I developed ways or, you know, to deal with the type of student that I knew I was going to get after my first year.
And what were those habits you developed when dealing with these students?
Well, I went back to school not necessarily to deal with behavioral problems or learning situations, but some of the courses I took did open up my mind and my eyes to how I could deal in the classroom and not go to school every day disappointed or discouraged.
How long did you teach for?
I worked in Newark for almost 40 years. I wasn't in the classroom all that time, but because I went back to school, I got my master's in student personnel services. I also worked at a community college in Newark, New Jersey, Essex County College. So I did some counseling in the evening. Go ahead.
What were some of your proudest moments as a teacher?
You know what, my proudest moments of, I'm gonna put it this way. My proudest moments was, I guess it could have been to the standpoint I enjoyed every day that I went to school and taught. Making colleagues my friends. Learning how to adapt to situations and deal with it. And then seeing students graduate and then come back and say thank you, you know. That's what I say, you know, was my, that's why I enjoyed teaching those 40 years almost.
Did you participate in any community work while being a teacher?
Most of it still dealt with, the Board of Education that I worked for, because I worked after school ESL classes. I worked after school for developing students who did not, you know, graduate and came back, take courses or develop basic skills, things like that.
When you were a student here at YSU, where did the meetings happen? Students while you were here.
Where did the meetings happen? Now, which meetings would you be, what meetings would you be referring to?
Where do students gather to be social here on campus?
At that time, most of the time, that was the cafeteria. Or in the library, certain areas of the library where noise could be dealt with. where noise could be dealt with. But the main thing was the cafeteria.
Where was the cafeteria located when you went to school here?
Cafeteria, oh God, when you walked in on campus, I could point it out to you, but I can't describe it. Because it was right, if you took the middle of the campus at that time, it would sort of like be right in the middle. No matter which direction you came from, you could easily get to the cafeteria.
Did you have your own friend group that you would meet with at this at the cafeteria?
Not particularly, but the black population, we sat in a particular area of the cafeteria. So most of the time, when I came in the cafeteria, I mean, I could sit anywhere I wanted, but I would usually go to that. It was like a corner. You could find us there.
Where did you work while you were going to school?
Kroger's.
You worked at Kroger. What was your experience like working at Kroger?
Well, you know, I was taught some skills. It was interesting, and you know, you see people come in and try to take things that they haven't paid for. Got to use that. I learned how to stock. I learned how to do register. I could check out, and I'm working the aisles, stocking the aisles, building areas where when there were certain things that were on sale, they might be in front. So as the customer came in, they would go walk by there. Basically, that's what I, got from Kroger's. I just don't want to say, you know, they had a nice salary, so I got that too. That's true, but I enjoyed working. I enjoyed going to work, and I tried to get as many hours as I could based upon, you know, what my schedule would allow at school.
Earlier, you mentioned a pyramid group that you guys were trying to start here called the Alpha.
Yeah, Alpha Phi Alpha. It was another black fraternity. And that was an interest group for males that want to become a part of the Alphas.
Did
and
that
we called pyramids.
How many people were in the pyramids?
Well, at the time I was there, maybe about 10, 12. It did not necessarily increase. Let's say from my freshman year to my senior year, basically the same.
What was your experience like being a part of the pyramids?
I'm sorry?
What was your experience like being a member of the pyramids?
Well, the experience was just the part of learning how to become a brotherhood, learning how to get along with other black males in terms of education, in terms of learning how to develop social skills, that type of thing.
What did you guys do within that chapter?
Not too much. We did have some type of meetings, and the meetings that we had were under the direction of adult men who live, adult Alpha men, Alpha Phi Alpha men who lived in Youngstown. You know, we would meet at the YMCA on Rand Avenue. I don't know whether once a month or however, whatever time they called the meeting, you know, we would go there. It could be, most of the time it was in the evening, because most of the alphas, the men, you know, they worked, so that was the only time. They had an alpha on campus, Professor Alfred Bright. He was in the art department. He was an alpha. I don't, at the time that I was there, I don't know if there's anybody else.
Did you have any personal connections with Al Bright? Did you do any work with him?
No. I knew him, but I didn't do any work with him.
How long did it take to establish the Alpha chapter at YSU?
There never was an Alpha chapter at YSU. The pyramid group was just an interest group, you know, established by Alphas who lived in Youngstown. But the Alphas were, as far as I know to this day, and I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, I don't know. I know during the whole time that I was there, like I said, the only two, the one male fraternity group was the Kappas, and the only female group was the AKAs.
Okay. So the pyramids were started by Alpha alumni from other universities?
I guess you could say that. That might be the best way to phrase it, yes.
Okay. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Anything else that you'd like to say for any younger students who may be listening to this interview? Is there any advice you'd like to leave for them?
Now, to leave for them as far as they're entering Youngstown State University?
Sure.
Okay. Well, no, my best statement would to be, make sure that you know why you are continuing your education at the college. Make sure that you have a goal in mind to why you're there on campus to pursue your education, because you're not there to party, you're not there to increase your social life, but you're there to study, you're there to learn, and then when you are finished, you'll be able to go into the world community and help others. That's what I would say.
Did you have any siblings growing up?
I had two.
Did your graduation encourage your siblings or other relatives to go to college as well?
That's kind of hard to that's kind of hard to answer. Both my sisters, I think, one deceased this year. I still have another sister that lives there. I think they did 1 year there, but they just did not have the desire to get a college education. I'm not saying that it was not part of their dream, but they just did not want it.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, I don't think so. I would just, well, as far as I'm concerned, the school had a choir, Youngstown, that I was a part of. And the director of that choir happened to be taught music at South High School. And then he transferred to Wren, but he still worked at Youngstown University. So programs where the choir had to be used, you know, I was a part of that. It might have been out in program that had to do on campus, outside of campus. I also belonged to, they had a Rotary group on campus. I remember they had an essay contest, which I won. That was way back when I first started. I did try to become part of groups, clubs, you know, while I was there. But I basically, sometimes I've forgotten some of the ones I did become a part of. But for me, my I started in 1962 and I finished up and got my degree in August of 1967. And that, like I said, that ended the private Youngstown University. And then that September of 1967, they became Youngstown State University. And when I come home, I ride up Fifth Avenue, ride up WIC, you know, see how they've expanded and all that. Football field, basketball, where they go play basketball, that type, you know. They even have places for students to stay, dorms and that. None of that was while I was going there. So it has, Youngstown University has this, Youngstown State University, you know, it's expanded and it's doing well.
What are some of your thoughts and feelings that you get when you visit the new campus?
You know, I haven't really had an opportunity to. Mine is just from a visionary standpoint, what I see, as opposed to where it was when I left. But for, I don't know what the population is now, but I'm sure it's even greater than the 16,000 or so that it was when I was there. So I'm sure they got more students that come, because now students don't have to, like I said, you know, come drive in and then leave when they get finished, because there was no place for them to stay. In that sense, on campus, some might have stayed at the Y, some might have stayed, you know, at other places that they have, but now, you know, they can stay on campus, that type of thing. But I think, you know, it's worth noting, if I was to tell some people that they should go to Youngstown State University, I would tell them, of course, because it offers a good education and prepares you for, depending on what your career is going to be, it's going to prepare you to go into the world community and be and have the skills that you need.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Davis, for coming in and sharing your story with us.
Not a problem.
I hope you feel better soon as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I hope I do too.
All right, you have